newest favorite songs. I am not as, what's the word, technologically astute as some of you are. Some of you, you know, you got playlists and all these kind of things of stuff that you listen to. And if I had a playlist, that song would be on there. My playlist is I go to the computer and I go to YouTube and I type in Ancient and of God and type in City of Lights, who I like to listen to, and I listen to it. So maybe I'll get more sophisticated someday. Enjoyed the song service this morning. One of the songs we sang is This World Is Not My Home. You know, a lot of people in this life, they have dual citizenship. And, you know, they're a citizen of the United States, and they're a citizen of another country, and they call that dual citizenship. And I have dual citizenship this morning, too. I am a citizen of the United States of America, but more important to me is I am a citizen of the kingdom of God, and I am thankful for that. The song said, I have a loving mother up in glory land. Brother Johnny and I have that in common, and I imagine they've already met up and having a good time. And I didn't have my loving mother long enough, but I'm thankful after all these years that she's been gone that I still remember her love. And I remember when she was in the hospital and she was on a ventilator and couldn't talk, and she had been brought into the hospital, and I was somewhere with my job, and when I heard about it, I came to the hospital, and I came as her pastor, and I came as her son. And as I went into the room and she looked at me, she asked for my hand, or just grabbed my hand, and she started writing in the palm of my hand. And Brother Johnny, I'm not real good at, you know, I'd say a letter and she'd, you know, didn't take me long to figure out all she was writing in my hand was, I love you. And that meant a lot to me because I love her too. Desire your prayers as I try to share from God's word this morning. My thought with the help of the Lord is going to be the importance of being followers of Jesus. I believe that every person in this life needs to consider whether they're a follower of Jesus or not. I don't think there's any in between. Either you are a follower of Jesus or you're not. And I posed that question this morning. Are you a follower of Jesus? I believe the Bible clearly states to us that, you know, there were followers everywhere that Jesus went. We can look in Scripture, and I'm going to show you a few passages of Scripture or read a few passages of Scripture to you that I think substantiates the claim that I'm making. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 25, it says, and there followed him, now we're talking about Jesus, and there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. The word about Jesus was out. And Jews and Gentiles alike were coming great distances to see him. Today, the word about Jesus needs to get out. It has been sheltered or it has been hidden. And it's not as prevalent, I believe, as it needs to be. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1, beginning in verse 1, it says, and seeing the multitude, he, referring to Jesus, went up into the mountain, and when he was set, it tells us that the disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them. Again, enormous crowds following Jesus. He was the talk of the town. Everybody wanted to see him. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 28. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, The people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Well, it didn't say anything about multitudes following their preacher. No, but it told us why they were following him. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1, when he, Jesus, was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house, and he sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship, and he sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. I'm sharing these verses because I'm hoping, like me, you're picturing what a multitude is. I hope that you're picturing this morning a great number. We're not talking about 10 or 15 people here. We're not talking about 30 or 40 people here. Luke chapter 11, verse 29 described it this way. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say. So to me, that word thick, it describes a crowd. It describes a group of people that are pressed and compacted together. Kind of like the crowd then when Zacchaeus was wanting to see Jesus and he couldn't see Jesus and said because of the press or because of the crowd that was there and he was short of stature and he couldn't get up tall enough to see them. And as Luke 12 and 1 describes, in the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people. Okay, what's an innumerable? Well, it's countless. It's countless. A countless or innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another. That word trod means they stepped on, they trampled upon one another. That's a lot of people following Jesus. We can envision these followings in the scripture, and it really must have been a sight to see. One man followed by multitudes of people. And what amazes me about that is wherever Jesus went, whenever he spoke, they heard him. He didn't need a PA system like I'm using today just in this little gathering here. This is not a multitude of people. This is a sprinkling of people compared to what was following Jesus. And he didn't need any kind of amplification. I believe each and every person that was there heard the words of Jesus. They heard the message of Jesus. And I want us to consider for a few moments this morning, I believe crowds are still following Jesus today. By the grace of God and through our salvation experience, we're blessed, brothers and sisters, to be among the crowds that follow and listen to him today. That's a privilege that God's people have, I think oftentimes taken for granted. I think it's sometimes possible for us to forget. I think sometimes we perhaps neglect our role and our responsibility as followers of Jesus Christ. I want us to be reminded of a few of the reasons that you and I are to continue to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. The message is very basic. It's very simple when we stop and think about why we need to be followers of the Lord Jesus. And the most simplest is we need to be followers of Jesus simply because of who he is. We know who he is. If we're saved by the grace of God, we know who he is. You know, I'm often amazed at, you know, famous people, you know. People that are famous, they get all kinds of attention. And people are awestruck at some of the celebrities that exist today. You know, those that are old enough to remember Elvis Presley. I think about him and I think about his concerts that he would hold. And as he would hold those concerts, you remember, girls are screaming and girls are they're crying and they're fainting over this man who was coming to sing songs to them in a concert. And these celebrities, oftentimes, they have to hide If they want to go do something, they got to put on a disguise, or they got enough money, they can just rent out the restaurant or the movie theater or whatever it might be, so that they can have some privacy and enjoy some time with themselves or with family members. But I think, as I was thinking about this sermon, you know, as famous as these celebrities are, you can't get any more famous than Jesus Christ. We follow him because he is the God-man. We follow him because he is eternal God. He was clothed in a human body, but he was the Messiah. He was the promised Messiah. He was the one that Israel had been waiting for. And God revealed the truth. He revealed his truth to Peter. When he asked Peter, he said, "Whom do you say that I am? Whom do you say that I am?" And Peter, in Matthew 16 and verse 16, he verbalized the conviction of his heart by declaring, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." I wonder who that you say that Jesus is, if somebody were to ask you. You know, Jesus, people have varying opinions in the world today. Some believe that Jesus exists and that he walked this earth, but they don't think of him as anything other than just he was a good man. They don't think of him as anything else other than, well, he was a good teacher, and he was able to teach some of the truths of God's word. But, you know, as I think about who Jesus is, and we think about, you know, he is God in the flesh. He was the Son of God. Jesus Christ is part of the triune Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And brothers and sisters, because of who Jesus is, we need to follow him. And we need to continue to follow him. We follow Jesus because of what he did. You know, we sing the song, did we sing, "He paid a debt he did not owe"? I think we sang that this morning. And that is so true. And I think we as God's people, we need to reflect on a regular basis of what he did. Otherwise, again, we drift away from the Lord. The world is so enticing and it's so distracting, and it takes us away from following the Lord Jesus like we should. In his lifetime here on earth, Jesus did great things. We can read about how he ministered to those that were sick. He comforted those that were grieving. He gave hope to those that were discouraged. He fed those that were hungry, physically and spiritually. He fed them. And I'm thankful that the greatest achievement that Christ ever achieved occurred on the cross of Calvary. It occurred in a tomb, and it occurred in his resurrection unto life again. We're all familiar with Isaiah chapter 53. In verse 4, it tells us, "Surely he hath borne our grief, and he's carried our sorrows. But yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded," why? "For our transgressions. He was bruised because of our iniquities, our sins. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." In other words, on the cross, brothers and sisters, he took our place. And in doing so, he demonstrated to us the height, the depth, and the breadth of his love for unworthy sinners. I like Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Maybe you know this portion of God's word before I even start reading it. But it tells us of this inseparable love that the Lord has for us. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? I am so glad, no matter what I do or no matter what I don't do, that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Oh, I might have to do some repenting somewhere along the line, and you might have to too. But nothing can separate us from that love that God has for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Verse 35. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Now we're getting to the good part. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Boy, I hold on to that. I need to. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor thing present, or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God tells us how great his love is for a reason, so that we can feel totally secure in him. Totally secure in him. Through his love, he protects each and every one of us in so many different ways. That love paid our debt as he went to the cross of Calvary to be our substitute, to die for our sins. And through the tomb and through the resurrection of our Lord, he conquered death and he conquered the grave, and he demonstrated that death will have no final victory over those who have trusted in him as their personal Savior. And by conquering the death and the grave, Jesus, he became a living Savior. And he is able, as a result of that, to save them to the uttermost that come to him, that come unto God by him. Right. Hebrews 7 and 25. And because of what Jesus did, we continue to follow him some 2,000 years later. Brothers and sisters, I'm glad because of what Jesus did that death is no longer a source of dread or of fear. Jesus overcame it. And we know by the promise of God that someday we will too. We're never going to die spiritually. Because we've been saved by the grace of God, we're going to have to experience maybe the sting of death unless the Lord comes back while we're living and he changes us in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. But we follow Jesus because of what he can do in our lives. Scripture teaches us that he is able to forgive us of our sins. And he's able to make us clean. And he's able to make us acceptable before God. Even as a saved Christian, there are many times that I need to go to the Lord and I need to call upon him. And I need to be cleansed from something in my life. And I'm glad in 1 John 1 and 9 that he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't know about you, but we follow Jesus because he can not only forgive us of our sins, but he's the one that can give eternal life. If you're here and unsaved this morning, he'll hear your prayer too, but it needs to be your prayer of repentance. It needs to be your prayer of asking for forgiveness of sin. And when you surrender unto him with everything, he'll save your soul and he'll give you that gift of eternal life. And it causes us to love the things that are lovable in God's eyes. And not in the eyes of man or the enticing things that we see in this life. In salvation, he gives us a new quality of life. As good as life was when I got saved, it was better after I got saved. And the reason that it was better is because the Lord saved me. He put the indwelling of his Spirit within me that helped me to live my life, to guide my life. But it also gave me the assurance of a relationship with the Lord every step of my life in this life, with the promise of being with him one day after a while. He gives us victory when he saves us of the evil that is within us. These physical bodies, they're corrupt. But when Jesus saves us, he cleanses us. And and the evil that threatens us on the outside. He makes us to be aware of those things. When temptations come, the Spirit of God will make us aware of those things and enable us to avoid those things. And it'll help us to be productive, and it'll help us to be victorious in what he describes as an abundant life for you and I. You ever think about that? The Lord just doesn't want us to live a life. He wants us to live an abundant life. And the way that we live that abundant life is by being followers of Jesus and by doing the things that Jesus has said to do. And we follow him because it's through him that we can achieve our highest possible abundant life in this life. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 explains, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things are new." We'll never be the same as a result of the gift of God. His gift of salvation, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, will never be the same. But I believe we can be better. I believe we can be better. Once we've been saved, that's not it. That's not the end of it all. Once we've been saved, the Lord wants us to mature, and he wants us to grow as Christian people. And I believe that we can achieve higher heights in our dedication, in our walk with the Lord, if we'll just follow him and the example that he has given us in Scripture. If saved, we follow Jesus because we need him. I need him every day. As the song says, "Oh, I need you. Every day I need you." I need him, and you need him. We think about our physical lives here. Children need their parents. And all of you, many of you are just like me, and you've come to the realization that as long as you're in this life, your children need their parents. Doesn't matter if they're married. Doesn't matter if they have kids of their own. My son is 40, what is he, 3? 43 years old. He still needs his dad. And he still comes to his dad for advice. And he still comes to his dad on how to hook up whatever electrical thing he's trying to do. And he still needs his dad. And so children need their parents. And husbands, you need your wives. We need them. Not just for the chores that they do, but we need them for the companionship that they give us. And we need them for their wisdom. I'm kind of like Brother Johnny, you know. When I preach a message, you know, I want to please the Lord with that. But one of the first things I do is ask my wife, "Did I get my point across?" as Brother Johnny says. And my wife's brutally honest. I'm not kidding you, brutally honest. I came home the other night and she said, "You know, in your scripture, as you were reading your lesson, you put, you know, him instead of my," or something like that, you know. What? "Oh, I put a not in there when I shouldn't have had a not in there." And I said, "Thank you, dear. I appreciate that." But see, I know I'm human. I know I make mistakes. She corrected me when I got home last night and said, "You thanked Brother Allen for leading the singing. You thanked me for playing the piano, and I wasn't playing the piano. Amy was playing the piano." And I said, "Okay." And I redeemed myself by saying, "But when Amy got up from the piano and started walking across here, I said, 'Thank you, Amy, for playing the piano.' I do that every single service when she comes by. But, you know, I'm human. And I make mistakes just like everybody else does. But, you know, husbands need their wives. And wives, you know the opposite, right? Wives need their husbands. And they need us for a variety of reasons. And we need friends. We all need friends in this life. And we need professionals. We need people that we can go to when we don't feel good, that they can treat us in whatever manner in which we need to be treated. And as important as all these people are within our lives, more than anyone else, than all of existence, Jesus is the one that we need the most. We need him for salvation. We need him for comfort. We need him for peace. We need him for strength. We need him for so many things in our lives. Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 5, he said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, and the same bring... Let me back up. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do what? Nothing. You can't do anything without the Lord. So we follow him. If we're honest, sometimes we follow with selfish motives. Sometimes we follow with our best interest in mind. We follow him because it pays to serve him. It really does. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, he said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And he told us to lean not unto our own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him. And what? He'll direct your paths. Are you doing that? Are you a follower of Jesus? As I thought about this, and it sounds strange, I know it, brothers and sisters, but we follow Jesus because he needs us. And you may say, he don't need us. Yeah, he needs us. I believe it because, and I don't mean it in an arrogant way. I don't mean it in a disrespectful way. I don't mean it in a presumptuous way when I make that statement. But I believe it's God's divine plan that God uses men and women just like you and me to share the good news of his love to others. He needs us. Otherwise, why are we here? Why didn't he just save us and take us? Because he left. And he left us behind to be his spokesman. He left us behind to be his witness to a lost and dying world. You know, God could have used angels, I suppose, to tell his message of love, but he didn't do that. He chose you and me as his ambassadors. So we follow him so that we can follow his example, so that we can spread the glorious gospel according to his plan. And if we do not follow him, who's going to do the work that he began? Who is going to do what he wishes for us to continue to do? Brothers and sisters, we need to follow. We need to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to do the work. And the work has to continue. Why? Because there's lost people sitting here this morning. There's been lost people in our services. What's the worth of a soul? It's worth everything that we can do to follow Jesus. The Great Commission was given to us, and it tells us to go ye therefore. In Acts chapter 1 and 8, it tells us, ye shall be witnesses unto me. In the Old Testament, in 1 Chronicles 16 and 3, it says, make known his deeds among the people. How often do we do that? And if we do it, are we doing it enough to spread the word of God? We follow Jesus because others need him. Others need him. People have a lot of needs in this life. We got people, you know, I watch the news sometimes and I look at, you know, out in California and I look in New York and, you know, it breaks my heart to see all these people laying on sidewalks with drug needles, you know, right by them and, you know, homeless living in tents and all of these things. And, people have needs. They need food and they need clothing and they need shelter and they need medical attention. They need all these things. But humanity's greatest need is a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. We can help others with their greatest need, brothers and sisters. We can help them when we witness to them about the truth. And we can help them when we encourage them to seek the forgiveness of sin and to trust in Jesus to receive that gift of new life that comes through that relationship with him. Again, my message is pretty simple this morning. Are you following Jesus today? I wonder, if you are following him, are you following him avidly? That word avidly means, are you following him passionately? Are you following him enthusiastically? Are you following him devotedly unto him? Or are you following haphazardly? Are you doing it carelessly? Or are you doing it irregularly? It's important for God's people to follow the Lord. And I got to tell you, we should be doing it with a great passion. And we should be doing it with a great excitement. Why? Because we've got something to be excited about. And if we're excited about what we have, I guarantee you the people of the world that are round about us are going to look at our lives and they're going to say, what is up with them? Not in a bad way, but they're going to say, what do they know or what do they have that I don't have? Because I want to be happy in life. I want to be rejoicing. I don't want to be depressed. I don't want to be downtrodden. And we can help with that by showing them that we're following the Lord. We're to walk and we're to follow in the divine example of Jesus Christ. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, he said, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. There it is. He's our mentor. He's the one we're to emulate. And the scripture says we're supposed to follow his steps in everything that we do. So let's be careful, brothers and sisters, to walk in the footsteps of Jesus and not in those of the world. No need to worry about how to know the difference. For Jesus told us in John chapter 10 and verse 27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and what do? They follow me. Oh, and the promise. The promise of John chapter 12 and verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, and there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. I think about Revelation chapter 7. I'm going to begin reading in verse 9. It says, and after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces. And what did they do? They worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and forever. Amen. We'll thank and we'll honor God with our hearts. And just like there were great multitudes that followed him back when he walked this earth, there needs to be and there are multitudes that are following him today. But one day after a while, there is going to be a great multitude around that throne. And there is going to be rejoicing and there is going to be praise unto the Lord. There's going to be thanksgiving unto the Lord. I can't even imagine what that's going to be like. If unsaved, I wonder, did you get that? To be where Jesus is. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be around that throne. But the reason I'm going to be there is because I am a follower of Jesus. Not just because I come to church. Not just because I come to Sunday school. Not for any of those reasons. I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ because he saved my soul. That made me a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, if you're going to get to heaven, if you're going to get saved, you're going to have to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way that you can be is through his mercy and grace that he will extend to you with your repentant heart of faith. By grace are you saved through faith. It's a salvation experience that makes you a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone may need to be a follower of him today. Maybe you're here this morning, you're lost. unsaved, maybe this morning you're under conviction. If that's too big a word, maybe you have a burden in your heart. Maybe you're troubled in your heart this morning because you've heard the gospel. And because the gospel has revealed to you through the Spirit of God that you're separated from God. And that you're not going to be in that place where the followers of Jesus is because of your lost experience. But I can tell you that that weight of burden that all of us who have been saved has experienced, I understand you need relief. I needed relief. I needed some peace. Jesus' relief and His peace, I truly believe it's just a sincere prayer away. It's a sincere, you could come today and you could be saved, but you're going to have to seek Him and you're going to have to call upon Him with all your heart and your strength. And you can be saved today and you can begin a new walk and you can begin a new journey as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. The crowds followed Jesus during His earthly ministry. And they've continued to follow Him down through the ages. As Christians, you and I can rejoice at the privilege of being among the crowds that follow Him. Yeah, we're privileged to be able to do that. And I want to have a song before I'm going to end my message. We're going to have a song. And I want to say to those that are unsaved that may be here, if you'll come and you'll seek the Lord, you can find salvation. You can find the Lord precious to your soul this very day. Do you want that? Do you want to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you really do and you're not saved, the invitation is for you to come and seek the Lord. I don't have the ability to save you. If I did, I would probably be unjust. In other words, I might favor one person more than another person. And Jesus is no respecter of persons. So that's why He didn't give us that ability. But He's given a few men the ability to be able to share God's word with the hopes of the Spirit of God taking that word and pricking your heart and making you realize what you need in your life. I guarantee you, if you'll come to the Lord and get saved, that you'll be happy. That burden will be gone. Peace will be there. We'll all look better to you, and you'll begin a journey as a follower of Jesus. Stand together as we sing. Is there one today?